Most investors don't know the difference between an IRA and a 401k, let alone how much to contribute to one. But not you, because you follow me, A.B. Ridgeway, a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience. And today, we're going to talk about 401ks, what are they, and how much you can contribute to them on this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. I want to thank you for joining me on another episode. If this is not your first episode and you've been listening to me for a while and you're not subscribed on any of the platforms, please hit that subscribe button now. And if this is your first time, please allow me to show you why you should be. Today, we're going to try to clear up some of the misconceptions about retirement accounts. Even this term retirement account is kind of confusing for a person who doesn't know anything about finances. Are you talking about a 401k? Are you talking about a 403b? Are you talking about an individual retirement account? Are you talking about a Roth IRA? Are you talking about a savings account? And the reason you should know how these different retirement accounts work is because they all have different rules and different ways to contribute and withdraw from them. Remember, all retirement accounts are not created equal. I don't know about you and your family, but for me, there's always that one family member who wants you to kind of read their mind. And let's say that you say, "You know what? I'm going to McDonald's. Do you want anything?" And they look you dead in the eye and say, "Yeah, can you pick me up a hamburger?" Now, for a financial advisor like me, that is one of the most irritating questions you can ask me. But why would that be irritating? I mean, I am going to a burger place, right? And they sell hamburgers, so that's a legitimate question. Can you pick me up a hamburger? It's not like they asked me to pick them up a bowl of spaghetti and garlic bread, right? Touche. But the problem with that is that when you go to McDonald's, how many different types of hamburgers are there? A lot. So the question remains, do you want a Big Mac? Do you want a McDouble? Do you want a quarter pounder with cheese? Do you want a regular cheeseburger? Do you want it with onions, without onions, with ketchup, without ketchup? There's so many combinations and variations that if I bring back a Big Mac, you may say, "Well, I didn't want that. I just wanted a cheeseburger." Or if I bring back literally a hamburger with no cheese, you may say, "Well, where's the cheese?" You see how this creates more problems than it solves, because there's so many questions that are not answered. What type of condiment? With or without cheese, right? Those type of questions are very important. Now, the same thing happens with our retirement account when a client comes in and says, "I want to save for retirement." Well, how do you want to save for retirement? And what are you saving for? Do you want to save for retirement through your employer? Do you want to save more money on your own? Or do you want to do a combination of both? Now, I'm not expecting a client like you to automatically know the difference between retirement accounts and request that type. "You know what? I'm looking for a Roth IRA because I'm looking for some post-tax contributions." No, most people don't do that. They may say, "I've heard about a Roth IRA," or "I've heard about an IRA," or "How do I maximize my 401k?" or "How do I improve what I'm doing at work?" So it's perfectly okay for you to walk into a financial advisor's office and ask, "I'm looking to save for retirement. What do you think I should do?" That's a totally different question. If I say I'm going to McDonald's and you say, "What type of hamburger do you think I would like?" And I would ask you a series of questions. Do you like onions? Do you like cheese? Do you like, you know, I don't know, two pieces of bread or three pieces of bread? I forgot what Big Macs look like. It's been that long. But what most financial advisors will recommend right off the bat when talking about retirement and savings are two types of accounts, either a 401k account and an individual retirement account, better known as an IRA, or they say in the South, an IRA. And if you've been subscribed to our podcast, you know we've talked about individual retirement accounts before, but for right now, we're going to focus on the 401k account, which is offered in most employers. Now, every company is unique here. Every company will not offer a 401k, so make sure that you check with your employee benefits and see if you are eligible. Now, many times we find clients that didn't even know they were in a 401k. Why? Because when they were onboarding, when they were first getting their job, they signed all those stacks of paper. And one of them said, "Do you want to enroll in a 401k program?" Or it may have said, "Do you want to automatically opt out?" Now, once again, we're so excited about our job. We're just happy to get that paycheck and we'll sign any of those papers that we have. But we have to look at those documentation because those are our rights. These are our benefits. These are what they call non-tangible, meaning that when you have your medical covered and you don't have to pay such a high deductible, that's an employee benefit. That's a benefit for working with that company, and different companies have different benefits. Okay, so let's dive into what you've come here for. Contributions. Now, if you want to know more about 401k accounts, you want a deeper dive into it, we do have an episode number 303, Maximizing Your 401k, Understanding Contributions, Withdrawals, and Tax Implications. That's episode number 303. You can check that out after you finish listening to this episode. As I said in that episode, we're going to continue to have more episodes around 401k, digging deeper into each one of these topics so you can have a better understanding of your retirement account. Now, on that episode, we really go into detail about what is the 401k, the contributions, as I said before, the withdrawals and tax implications, and the dangers of actually making a poor financial decision that late in retirement. Ladies and gentlemen, one decision about how you take that money out can destroy your 401k. I've seen it happen. I've seen people lose 30, 40% of their retirement making one bad decision. So go listen to that podcast. It will explain what that one decision is and how to avoid it. So now I'm going to give you the short answer to the contribution question, and then I'm going to give you the long answer. So let's start with the short answer. How much can you contribute into your 401k? Now, the 401k contribution limits for 2024 set by the IRS are $23,000 for individuals under 50 years old and $30,500 for those 50 and older. I'm going to say that one more time. The 401k contribution limits for 2024 are $23,000 for individuals under 50 and $30,500 for those 50 and over. Now, keep in mind, these limits are adjusted annually for cost of living increases, and exceeding the limits could result in penalties if not addressed. Now, let me go over the long answer. I'm going to give you the two types of contributions that can be made into a 401k, and I'm also going to go over some of the rules that are associated with these contributions. So first, there are two types of contributions that can actually be made into a 401k plan. The first is an employee contribution. This will be the contribution made by you. And typically, these contributions are made from your payroll, meaning that they are pre-tax. One of the big misconceptions about 401k accounts is that they are double taxed. This is simply false. I don't care what your favorite TikToker said. I really don't. Contributions to a 401k are made before taxes, and they are only taxed on the year or in the year which you make a withdrawal. Now, these withdrawals do not have special tax treatment. Typically, when you hold a security for longer than a year, you get what? Preferential tax treatment, where you are taxed at a typically lower rate than ordinary income. We call it long-term capital gains tax rate. But this is not the case for retirement accounts. All withdrawals from a retirement account will be taxed at ordinary income, which is whatever is your tax rate at the time of withdrawal. So if you're in a 12% tax bracket and that portion of that money falls into that tax bracket, that's what you're going to be taxed at. So let me go over what makes these retirement accounts so special, because the federal government is actually trying to help you. They want to help you defer the payment of taxes until you potentially could be in a lower tax bracket. That is to say, when you stop working and having so much ordinary income or taxable income in a given year. Now, it is 100% possible you may be in a higher tax bracket after retirement. Maybe you pick up a different job. Maybe you have a passive income. But regardless, this is a strategy you need to develop and plan for so you're not paying too much in taxes. Sometimes we retire from business, we sell our business, and in that 1 year, we have this huge influx of assets. And that can destroy us financially. And another thing that makes these accounts so awesome, you can actually buy, sell, and trade in these accounts without triggering a taxable event. That means if you buy something on Tuesday and you sell it on Wednesday, there's no short-term capital gains or capital losses that you are responsible for in that account. Once again, you pay the taxes once you pull the money out. Now, one caveat is that 401ks are pretty limited in the investment choices that they have. They typically have about four or five different investing options, ranging from something very conservative to something maybe a little bit more aggressive. But as far as choosing individual stocks and assets that you may have more faith in other than your typical company, it's not going to occur in a 401k unless your employer is like in a certain sector and you 100% support and want to be invested in that anyway. Let's take Exxon, for example. You love oil and gas. It's a match made in heaven, right? You could buy Exxon stock and you can be about your way, right? But as I said earlier, the 401k has a lot of rules that are attached to it. But what makes this different than an IRA or an individual retirement account is that you can actually take a loan off of your 401k without causing a taxable event once again. We all know that emergencies happen. So it's important for you to know that you still have access to those funds depending on the program that your employer has. Once again, this is a question that you're going to want to ask your financial advisor and your employer to make sure that you're contributing the right amount to be eligible. I think there's some new legislation that's going into effect that you can actually take out $1,000 from your 401k for emergencies without being taxed, but you have to go through your employer, write a letter, they have to confirm it, all this other kind of stuff. There's a lot of details that go into it, so I wouldn't rush on that right away unless you really know what you're doing. Now, the second type of contribution is an employer contribution. So the first was employee, which is you. The second is an employer contribution, which is your job. This is not mandatory. They're not forced to do that. There's no regulation saying that an employer has to match your contributions, but it is an employee benefit if they do. And the beautiful part is that most companies will match your contribution up to a certain percentage. It can range anywhere from 1 to 6 or 7%. Each company is going to be unique, but once again, you need to know what your limits are. But in no retirement account are you going to be able to receive that type of match. I mean, 6 and 7%. When's the last time that you deposited $1,000 into your bank account, into your savings account or checking account, and they match 6 or 7% of whatever that you put in? Right? A lot of people, oh, well, when I spend my credit card, I get 2% cash back or 5% cash back. No. Do you hear what you're saying? You get 5% cash back, meaning you get your cash back. This is not cash back. This is additional cash. You see how that works? People get tricked. Oh, I have extra money because I use my credit card. I'm getting 5% cash back. But they're charging you 20% in interest. They're giving you 5% cash back so that technically you're still getting charged 15%. And that's if you save the money. But since you're using your cash back to buy more things, it's still the 20%. You're still wasting money. You're not even saving anything. But anyway, I digress. Sometimes I can kind of get off subject, but debt is one of the things that really kind of get under my skin because I feel like the market, you know, advertisers or things are just looking for ways to take money away from you without you knowing, and providing points for people who are already in debt and they're using that as a motivation to spend more is very scary. Okay. But once again, in no other account are you going to be able to receive that type of match. And I typically like to say that in a 401k, it's like free money. But it's your right as an employee. These are, once again, benefits that are provided for you. So take full advantage of them. And they're not going to come out and tell you, hey, we have this match. We can give you X amount of dollars. You're going to make so much money if you just put in the max, right? They're not going to say anything like that because that takes away from their bottom line. They're going to say, well, we offered it to them. They just didn't want to take it. So ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we don't want to leave money on the table. Now, with that said, there are some limitations to the maximum amount of employee and employer contributions into a 401k. So we talked about the contribution limits for an individual, right? But if you max out your contributions as an individual, here are some details to make sure you don't go over your limits, because the maximum employee and employer contribution into a 401k cannot exceed the lesser of $69,000 for those under 50 years old, $76,500 for those 50 and up, or 100% of employee compensation. So if you make over $69,000, now I've written many articles and blogs about the tragedy of retirement and how a majority of Americans are not ready to retire. Okay. And many don't even have a retirement savings account. Many investors are depending on Social Security. But I've also done articles and blogs about the research that shows, and even the Social Security Administration admits They may not have enough money to pay full benefits in the next decade or so. Also, with inflation rising, Social Security may not cut it when it comes to paying bills and being able to buy food, water, and shelter. But hopefully, you've noticed there is a such thing as a catch-up provision when you are 50 years or over. And starting in January 2025, people aged 60 to 63 will be able to make catch-up contributions of $10,000, and the limit will be indexed for inflation. Currently, it's around $7,500. This is really going to help us a little bit more thanks to the passing of the Secure Act 2.0. Ladies and gentlemen, the government can offer these opportunities to continue to save more for retirement, but if we don't take advantage of this incremental growth or contribution limits, it doesn't really matter anything to our bottom line. But those extra $2,000 or $3,000 can really build up, especially if we talk about over 5, 6, 7, 10 years. So if you're a little late investing, don't worry, it's not too late, but we always want to start early. So if you're 50 and over and you haven't been investing for years, you may want to start contributing a little bit more and taking advantage of those higher contribution limits because you're over the age of 50. So brothers and sisters, when you're deciding to contribute to your 401k, you want to take a few things in consideration. One, the ability to put money away and reduce your taxable income in the current year. You want to think about how much money you're going to need in retirement and making sure that you take advantage of the free money that your employer is going to give to you. Brothers and sisters, signing up for your 401k can be a little confusing. I mean, even this episode itself was pretty dense when it comes to the things that you do with your 401k, but you still want to make that effort. And if you need some help, we'll be happy to help you get settled with your 401k to better understand it. Maybe just bring in your statement. Let us talk it through so you can get a better idea of what you're contributing, what you're entitled to, and maybe some tips on what you can do going forward. You can schedule a consultation at www.abrwealthmanagement.com and schedule a consultation with me, AB Ridgeway. I'm a certified private wealth advisor professional. I've been at it for over a decade. I've seen 401ks hundreds of times, and I can help you understand yours and figure out what are some of your options for retirement, and if you're on track to even retire on a 401k, because you may need to do something different. And if you're new to investing and you don't know anything about what a checking account is, what a savings account is, an IRA, a Roth IRA, and they all sound like a foreign language to you, I have something for you. You could download our free ebook, The 4 Pillars to a Christian Financial Plan. We go over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers, and just like a house built on these 4 pillars. If one of the pillars are not strong or maybe even missing, it can cause the house to collapse. So if you save, you invest, and you know how to give your money to your children, but you're drowning in debt, the house is going to fall over. If you don't have any debt, you're saving, but you're not investing, you may not have enough to pass on to your children. And if you take care of your debt, you're saving and you're investing, but you don't know how to pass it on to your children without paying high taxes and fees, once again, the house will fall down. So brothers and sisters, check out the ebook. It's going to highlight some of the major challenges most investors go through and how to overcome them. I am going to leave a link in the description. So if you've enjoyed this episode, make sure you go down, click it and download it and join our family. And it will sign you up for our newsletter where you get continued information about your 401k, retirement, savings, and investing. Well, thank you for listening. Once again, if you're not subscribed, please hit that subscribe button wherever you are so you can continue to get faith-based investment advice just like this. Well, until next time, my name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.